Mic on, okay. Today I'm just doing the circuit. This is the first time for me, so. But anyway, I just came from Todd, and I had some connection with Todd in terms of some previous members when I was at Williamston. I knew them. And it's good to be here this morning. What I would like for us to do is turn to Book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And and what we want to focus on is how Peter and John responded to a stranger that walked into their life. And before we read, let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we praise you and thank you that we are here this morning, and before us is your written word in our language that we can understand. And so we pray that as we read and listen and think and meditate and wander off in our minds, in all that process, we can experience you talking to us individually. We can hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us hear the word of God. Once when Peter and John were going up to the temple for prayers at the ninth hour, it happened that there was a man being carried along. He was a cripple from birth, and they used to put him down every day near the temple entrance called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people going in. When this man saw Peter and John on their way into the temple, he begged from them. Peter and John too looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." He turned to them expectantly, hoping to get something from them. But Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." Then he took him by the right hand and helped him to stand up. Instantly, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped up, stood, and began to walk. And he went with them into the temple, walking and jumping and praising God. Everyone could see him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. They were all astonished and perplexed at what had happened to him. This is a familiar story for all of us, but I would like for us to consider a question that Peter and John faced when they faced a stranger. "I give you what I have." But before we can answer the question and the incidents that Peter and John faced, let us kind of look at the passage in terms of historically, and what we find that Peter and John have experienced not only the earthly Jesus, but the risen Lord and Savior. When he came among them and he broke bread with them, and he was showing them that he is alive. Then he left, and Peter and John have experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power in the name of Jesus, they know all that personally. They don't have to read about it in a book. They know that experientially. Then what they also know with their own experience is life in the church that they grew up in. They have seen that poor people who had nothing, and the rich people in the church who had money, who had real estate, sold what they had and helped out those who had little or none. They didn't have to do that, but they chose to do that. Then Peter and John in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, they experienced going to worship on a regular basis in the temple. Not only that, but unlike us, they have experience worshiping in homes. I happened to be in Seoul, Korea one time, and you know, the world famous church, I visited Paul Cho's church when membership at that time was 200,000. That was in 1984. The church got the debt size by, you know, by doing what they call in terms of small church, small group, assembly of people in their homes and apartments. In that case, in Seoul, is a high-rise apartments. And then they all would come to church on a Sunday morning. I went to worship service at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And this worship service is every hour. I think it's every 2 hours, if I remember right. And it starts, the first one is at 6 o'clock, and Dr. Paul Cho only preaches one time, and the remaining time, his preaching is on a screen. And so, but I have also participated and led a Bible, home Bible study at Third Press in Greenville, where we met in people's home to study, like we studied the Book of Acts one time, and Book of Romans another time. So that is a possibility, yeah, for us in Lawrence County. And so Paul even talks about that kind of church in his letters, but we also find that John and Peter have experienced that kind of ministry. Small group ministry where we can talk about our faith, our struggles, our pain, our sorrows, and be ministered to, unlike this context. And so now they are going to pray. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Although they are followers of Jesus Christ, they grew up being what? Jewish, going to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so they go pray for prayer. Just imagine this morning when you got ready to come to church over here, you prepared yourself, you had everything lined up, what you're going to wear, your car was running great, and you were about to walk out, then you find a stranger knocking at your door. You want to go to church. He wants you to pray. You want to worship God. You want to be part of a praise service. But there is a stranger at your door. I don't know about you, but I would try to get rid of the stranger as fast as I can. But that's not what happened here, isn't it? Peter and John, their plans of praying God at 3 o'clock in the afternoon are just interrupted. We have a God who enjoys interrupting our plan. We can plan everything to the detail. Something will happen. And he does that with our lives. So here we have two disciples who are faithful followers of Jesus, who want to show their pious life by going to prayer. And but they have to face a beggar. I don't know about you, but I have seen beggars like the scripture is talking about. Unless you have traveled overseas or you've been in bigger cities, even like Greenville or Atlanta or New York, really no, good concept of what Peter and John went through. I want to suggest to you that this lame beggar knows how to read people from a distance. He knows how to, which people have money, which people are going to give him something when he asks for. He's professional. He's a professional at begging. He knows how to use his illness. He's not being a rather lame and cannot walk, right? It's obvious. You know, if you have seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire, in that movie, you've seen how children are being used to beg for other people who are making money, you know. See, here is this man who we have no idea about his name. We have no details about his life. All we know that he was crippled from birth. And he begged. He begged at the, you know, at the beautiful gate of the temple in the front. And that day God had arranged Peter and John to be there at the right time, at the right place. And not just upset Peter and John's schedule, but changed the expectation that this crippled man had from himself. Because he was resigned to be a beggar the rest of his life. He was resigned to be what? To be a cripple, not being able to walk the rest of his life. Because he has known people who were crippled, who died crippled, who, you know, who remained beggar the rest of their lives. And that was his plan. But God had another plan. Had another plan for a beggar, for a crippled beggar. And he used two disciples who also had another plan for their lives to pray, to do something what God wanted to do. So you all, we all may have plans with our lives. And it's good to have plans, but it's good also to be sensitive to what God is doing. So first thing we see in this encounter with a stranger is something that we don't see in the Middle East, right? And that is, Peter and John looked straight ahead at him. eye contact. I teach with the kids that I work with at AMI Kids Piedmont, you know, that if you meet a stranger, you make sure you have an eye contact and you have a firm handshake and tell your name and, you know, listen to their name and engage in a small conversation. But this is the Middle East. And Peter and John, in verse 4 and 5, says, in terms of look at us. And that's also, you know, worth noticing. It doesn't say look at me. It says look at us. Although Peter is doing the talking, John is included, right? So unlike the Western culture, Peter and John are doing something totally different. And that is, they want them to be engaged with their eyes. You know, they are looking at him and he's looking at them. Most likely, you know, the distance is also less, which is uncomfortable. In the Middle East, you know, culture, all that is totally foreign to what we are used to, probably. See, but God does his own thing. He changes cultures. So here we find, you know, the cultural norms are violated in one sense. And it says, and what do you think the beggar was expecting when he said, well, okay, I got their attention. We are close. We are looking at each other. Where is the money? Where is the money? Instead, he hears something totally foreign to his ears. Silver and gold, I have none. Now, I don't know what happened that day, but, you know, it's probably unusual for these two disciples not to have money. They looked rich, right, because they were dressed in a way that this beggar was able to discern, man, these people have money. This way I got to go to them, you know, ask them. I don't need to ask this other person who doesn't look like I've got money. So he goes to them, right? And he's totally surprised. He's like, what in the world are you telling me? Man, you don't have money. You look rich to me. You know, you got a Rolex watch. You know. When that's what happened, right? I don't know what happened that day with Peter and John, whether their wives or their children took all the loose change out before they left home. You know, that happens, right? And you go and you look, I said, man, I don't know what happened. I know I had money in my wallet and in my pocket, but, you know. But unlike most of us, Peter and John do not panic when they find out, man, I got nothing to give this crippled man and get him out of my face. But he does something unusual. I don't know why he says this, but, you know, suddenly he probably has an insight in himself. But I do have something. I give you what I have. We can always give what we have. We cannot give what we don't have. But we can always give what we have. And I have the name of Jesus. And it says, in his name, walk. Neither Peter nor John nor the crippled beggar had no concept of true wealth. See, their concept was just financial. And money is good, right? It pays our bills. It buys us nice things. But money doesn't buy the ability to walk like this man needed. He needed to be able to walk in his life and not be crippled. And that he had never hoped would happen in his life. But is there something in your life today that you never hoped will happen to you? The name of Jesus will make it happen. We may not be physically crippled, at least from what I'm looking right here, I cannot tell. But we may have all kinds of stuff going on inside of us where we need the power in the name of Jesus to be able to walk through a difficult situation. Difficult time in our life. Face, you know, difficulties that people are facing at home, at work. The name of Jesus. Will give the power to stand. Power to stand, not just physically, but have some kind of backbone. To say no to a peer who wants you to use drugs, drink, do something illegal. To say no to sexual advances, to say no to all kinds of illegal stuff that we may be tempted to do. The name of Jesus gives us the ability to walk where we had never walked before. The crippled man had never walked inside the temple. All his adult life begging as a beggar, crippled, stayed outside, but never entered the door. But as soon as he got some strength, instead of running from the temple, going to his friends and family members and peers, he went with them into the temple. How did he go? It says he jumped up, stood, and began to walk, praising God. God surprised him that day. He had no idea that today he'll be able to walk and praise God, leaping, jumping. And we all kind of see the, you know, in terms of people jumping around, in terms of some dance or things like that at a club. But here is a picture of a grown man jumping and walking in the temple. Remember, these are very proper and pious people in the temple. Everyone could see him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging. they recognized him. And this guy was never able to walk in his life. He only sat at the beautiful gate, never came inside. How can we respond to a stranger in our midst? We have people from all kinds of background, and a stranger is just a stranger that we don't know, you know. Let me tell you a story about when I was in Anderson County in the Williamston Presbyterian Church from 1977 to 1982. I read in the newspaper and saw on TV that a family that owned a motel, their son was murdered that night. He was only 22 years old. I had never met this family in my life. I had, you know, just read about it, although I lived in Williamston. This happened in Anderson. I went to see them and visited with them. You know, we spoke the same language. And before I left, I said, "Well, I would like to have a prayer with you." I said, "What I want to do is I want all of us to stand and hold our hands, and I will pray." Now remember, everybody there is Hindu, you know. I'm in their living room. There's Hindu idols. You know, I made a request, and they said, "Is that okay with you?" He said, "Yeah, that's fine." So I had my prayer for the entire family, and then I left, and, you know, he never made a profession of faith. He never went to church, nothing like that that I know of. But every time I saw the man, while he was still in the area, he would always make sure that he would come and talk to me and always tell me that I remember that day. Well, you know, when you prayed. See, we never know what can happen in the life of people. We never know that some little thing we may do. In the name of Jesus, can touch people that money cannot touch. So everyone could see him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all astonished and perplexed what had happened to him. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we praise you. Thank you that you come to us where we are. You touch us with your very own presence, and we know in the name of Jesus we can experience healing power. We can experience that which money cannot give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.